The smoothly tarred surface of the road abruptly stopped and became dirt. At this point on the small peninsula, the township's responsibility ended, and the area of private property began. According to the United States Post Office, South Greenwich, Connecticut, the delivery route was listed on the map as Shore Road, Northwest, but to the carriers who drove out in the mail trucks, it was known simply as High Barnegat, or just Barnegat. And the carriers drove out frequently, 3 or 4 times a week, with special delivery letters and certified receipt-requested manila envelopes. They never minded the trip because they received $1 each time they made a delivery. High Barnegat. 8 acres of ocean property with nearly a half mile bordering directly on the sound. Most of the acreage was wild, allowed to grow unhampered, untamed. What seemed contradictory in spirit was the compound, the house and grounds 70 yards up from the central beach. The long rambling house was contemporary in design, great expanses of glass encased in wood, looking out over the water. The lawns were deep green and thick, manicured and broken up by flagstone paths and a large terrace directly above the boathouse. It was late August, the best part of the summer at High Barnegat. The water was as warm as it would ever be. The winds came off the sound in gusts which made the sailing more exciting, or hazardous, depending on one's point of view. The foliage was at its fullest green. In late August, a sense of calm replaced the hectic weeks of summer fun. The season was nearly over. Men thought once again of normal weekends and 5 full days of business. Women began the agonizing process of selection and purchase that signaled the start of the new school year. Minds and motives were slowly changing gears. Frivolity was ebbing. There were more serious things to consider. And the steady flow of house guests diminished at High Barnegat. It was 4:30 in the afternoon, and Phyllis Trevane reclined in a lounge chair on the terrace, letting the warm sun wash over her body. She thought, with a degree of satisfaction, that her daughter's bathing suit fitted her rather comfortably. Since she was 42 and her daughter 17, satisfaction could have turned into minor triumph if she allowed herself to dwell on it. But she couldn't, because her thoughts kept returning to the telephone, to the call from New York for Andrew. She had answered on the terrace phone because the cook was still in town with the children, and her husband was still a small white sail far out on the water. She'd nearly let the phone ring unanswered, but only very good friends and very important, her husband preferred the word necessary, business associates had the High Barnegat number. "Hello, Mrs. Trevane?" had asked the deep voice on the other end of the line. "Yes?" "Frank Baldwin here. How are you, Phyllis?"
"Fine, just fine, Mr. Baldwin. And you?"
Phyllis Trevane had known Franklin Baldwin for several years, but she still couldn't bring herself to call the old gentleman by his first name. Baldwin was the last of a dying breed, one of the original giants of New York banking.
"I'd be a lot better if I knew why your husband hasn't returned my calls. Is he all right? Not that I'm so important, God knows, but he's not ill, is he?"
"Oh, no, not at all. He's been away from the office over a week now. He hasn't taken any messages. I'm really to blame. I wanted him to rest."
"My wife used to cover for me that way, too, young lady. Instinctively. Jumped right into the breach and always with the right words."
Phyllis Trevane laughed pleasantly, aware of the compliment.
"Really, it's true, Mr. Baldwin. Right now, the only reason I know he's not working is that I can see the sail of the catamaran a mile or so offshore."
"A cat? God, I forget how young you are. In my day, no one your age ever got so damned rich. Not by themselves."
"We're lucky. We never forget it."
Phyllis Trevane's voice spoke the truth.
"That's a very nice thing to say, young lady."
Franklin Baldwin also spoke the truth, and he wanted her to know that.
"Well, when Captain Ahab bounds ashore, do ask him to call me, will you please? It's really most urgent."
"I certainly shall."
"Goodbye, my dear."
"Goodbye, Mr. Baldwin."